Today's episode is sponsored by Greenlight. Did you know that 27 states don't require a personal finance course for students, even though teens score an average of 64% on the National Financial Literacy Test? Let's make a difference. Our friends at Million Bazillion and Greenlight are hitting the road, visiting schools to teach important lessons on financial literacy. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live and interactive. Million Bazillion Live is in partnership with Greenlight, the money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That's greenlight.com/million.
Should I say it now?
You're listening to Brains On, where we're serious about being curious.
Recognize these tunes? Probably do if you've ever played Super Mario 3D World, Skyrim, or Minecraft.
But it wasn't always a given that your games would have a soundtrack.
Board games certainly didn't.
And early arcade games,
the predecessor to video games,
didn't have music either.
So how did it come to be here?
And what kind of effect does it have on you?
We'll find out now.
Keep listening.
I'm Molly Bloom, and my co-host for this episode of Brains On is 12-year-old Henry Goldman.
Hello.
So, Henry, you play video games.
Yeah.
And do you remember the first video game you ever played?
The first video game I ever played was probably Cube Runner, back when I was 4 or 5.
What's Cube Runner?
It's this game where it was kind of like a simulation of a car almost, except you were just an arrow. And you would have to tilt the phone or iPad or whatever device you had back and forth trying to avoid all of these just random cubes that would pop up on the screen.
Was there music in that game?
There was music in that game.
Do you remember it?
It went something like, I don't know. It's one of those songs where it's in your head, but it doesn't come out.
So which video game would you say has your favorite music?
My favorite music. This game called Bouncy Slime. It's on the iPad where you're this little slime ball and you kind of like bounce around. It's weird, but it's fun.
And why does that have your favorite music? What about it do you like?
I don't know. It just kind of triggers something that makes it fun. The game seems more fun.
So what, it actually enhances the game when you have the music on.
Yeah.
Because sometimes...
It kind of gets you pumped up.
Right, because sometimes you don't like the music for games, right?
Yeah, and then it bugs you, and then you don't play that game.
Henry finds video game music annoying sometimes. So we want to know...
What effect does video game music have on players?
Before we get to that question, let's look at where video game music came from. Producer Mark Sanchez is here to tell us more. Hi, Mark!
Hey, guys!
Hello! Mark, when does music enter the world of video games?
Around 1978, these four chords changed everything. Do you know what that is?
Space Invaders?
Exactly. Have you ever played Space Invaders?
Yeah.
You did? You played Space Invaders?
Yeah, aren't you the little like ship thing at the bottom?
Yeah.
And then there's the little rocks, and there's all the thingies coming that are shooting at you, and you don't want them to get to the bottom.
Exactly.
Yep. Space Invaders, it started out as a stand-up arcade game, and it was set in this really, really primitive version of outer space. The guy that invented the game, his name is Tomohiro Nishikado. He decided to put those four chords throughout the game. And the longer you keep your spaceship from getting hit by an alien... by one of their lasers, the faster the music would get. And it, like, just those four notes, those four chords, like, makes things really, really tense.
I've never played Space Invaders, but I've played other games where the music speeds up the closer you get to the end, and I get really nervous when it happens. How about you, Henry?
I agree with that. I mean, I think that as more games are starting to kind of pop up, a lot more games are starting to have music that's speeding up.
And does it make you feel nervous?
Definitely.
I called up a friend of mine. He's a programmer and a musician. His name is Ocean Kalen. I wanted to ask him about these early sounds, this early music in video games. And they're actually made by an 8-bit chip. I don't know if you've heard of that or not. But
Have you heard the term 8-bit before?
Yeah. It's like, I've never heard of it referenced to the music. I've only heard of it referenced to, like, the kind of pixelated creatures.
It references what you see on the screen. The shorthand for that music, people call it 8-bit music.
Here's what he said.
Inside video games and arcade consoles, there are chips and transistors and capacitors and all those things. Well, those chips can run sets of instructions, and there may be one chip to do all the video. And so that's what makes all the pixels on the screen, you know, light up certain colors. And there may be another chip that deals with the joystick or the buttons or something like that. And there's often another chip that just does sound.
Okay, you guys got this so far? Microchips are inside the games, and each chip has a set of instructions that tells the game how to react.
Okay.
Now, let's focus on the chip that sends sound signals to the game's speaker. We've talked about sound waves in the past, right?
Yes, at our music episode.
Shout out to the music episode!
You can listen to that to find out how our brains actually hear music.
And as we learned in that episode, sound travels in waves. And when you think about a wave, when part of it goes up, the other part goes down. Ocean told me that this kind of symmetry, this up and down motion, is kind of ideal for these sounds that are coming out of 8-bit chips.
The binary nature of computers, zeros and ones, or off and on, are really well suited to making music, because if you think of a speaker, like the cone in the speaker, it just goes in and out. If a computer says zero, make the cone go in, and if the computer says one, make the cone go out. And so if the computer can just send a series of zeros and ones in some special order, then that can make the speaker go in and out in some special order. And that special order we call sound. And so that sound might be a violin, or it might be a piano, or it could just be some alien getting shot.
Okay, so far we've got chips getting instructions in the form of zeros and ones.
Binary code.
And the chip turns those instructions into sound waves that come through the speaker.
Right.
But why do the old games sound so old? Like, why couldn't Space Invaders have a super awesome soundtrack like Skyrim that sounds like an orchestra with violins?
It's all about limitations.
Limitations?
Limitations and exponents. Are you guys ready to do a little multiplication?
I guess so.
Compared to today's microchips, like the ones in your phone or tablet or computer that you might have, the chips in Tomohiro Nishikado's Space Invaders, they might as well have been potato chips. Those early chips could only run a limited, teeny tiny amount of instructions compared to today before they ran out of room or bits. The more bits, the better the sound.
Bit means how many, in terms of a mathematical equation, it's 2 to the n power. And so 2 times 2 would be called 2-bit, because you're multiplying 2 by 2 just twice. 2 times 2 times 2 is 2 to the third power, or 3-bit. And 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 is 2 to the fourth power, or 4-bit.
A lot of early video game consoles, like the Atari 2600 or early Nintendo systems or the Commodore 64 computers, those ran on 8-bit chips. You guys want to do the math on this one?
Yeah. Let's see. 8 bits would be 2 to the 8th power.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 2.
Times 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 2.
Okay, multiply that out and you get
256.
But 256 what?
Ocean?
So remember we talked about the zeros and the ones make the speaker go in and out. Well, if you only have two states, if you have in and you have out, that's 1 bit, meaning that there are only two instructions, or 2 to the first power. And so you only have two sort of states, either all the way in or all the way out. If you have something that's 2-bit, meaning that it's 2 times 2, or 4, that means there are 4 states. So it would be all the way off, or all the way on, or there would be 2 states in between, about a third on and about 2/3 on. Well, 8-bit means that there's 2 times 2 times 2 times 2, or 8 times, or 256 states. And so that speaker can be in 256 places. That sounds like a lot, but music is really complicated. And so if you only allow the speaker to rest at 256 separate places, it approximates sound. You know, when we're just walking outside and we're hearing birds and we're hearing, you know, trees rustle, we're hearing millions and millions of states between totally on and totally off.
Among his many talents, Ocean has programmed the sounds of 8-bit computer chips into modern music-making software.
We're listening to a song made with his software right now, in fact.
And there's a whole 8-bit music scene out there. Some musicians, like Ocean, use software and modern computers to make their computer video game-sounding music. And others, the purists out there, they purposely limit themselves by using the original chips.
Cool. Well, I guess there's just one thing left to say.
Yep.
Dance party!
You can find links to Ocean's software and music at our website, brainson.org.
So how do we get from this to this?
Excellent question, but we have something we need to do first. It's time for the mystery sound. Here it is. Any guesses?
It sounded kind of like a keyboard clicking.
Okay. You're on the right track. But think about it a little bit more. We're going to come back to it later in the show. And while you and our listeners puzzle over it, we're going to get back to that question that you just asked. How did video game music evolve? Well, as the technology evolved, so did the music. Logic came into the picture. The music went from playing at the start of levels and just looping over and over to having to make decisions about where it was going to play.
If Mario eats a mushroom, then play this music.
If Mario jumps on Yoshi, then add percussion.
If Mario jumps off Yoshi, then remove percussion.
So it's this logic in the software that makes the music interactive. To explain more about how that works, we turn to one of our podcasting buddies.
I'm Emily Reese. I'm the host and producer of Top Score from Classical Minnesota Public Radio.
Top Score is a podcast all about video game music. It features interviews with composers about their work.
That's right. Emily says video game music is fundamentally different from other soundtracks in one big way.
It tends to be interactive. When you watch a film or a television show, that's a very static experience. You hear that music once, and then it's always the same through every single viewing of that particular media. But when you're playing a video game, you know, there are times where you might spend an hour in one area where another player might spend 5 minutes. And so the music is tailored to adapt to each player depending on how they're playing.
Have you ever noticed that while playing a game, how the music changes?
Yeah, I've noticed that. I mean, there's some games that don't even, the music doesn't change no matter how long you're on one level or one area. It just gets annoying and then you don't want to play that game anymore.
But then the games that do change are a little more interesting.
Definitely.
So the way that this music is different is that they layer different themes on top of each other. So that's when you add one bit of music and then another bit and then another depending on what's going on in the game.
We asked her to give us an example.
Okay, so let's say we're in an adventure game and your job is to go from one end of a cave to the other end of the cave, and along the way certain things are going to happen. So when you first enter that cave, the music is likely going to be kind of ambient, like you would think of a soundtrack, kind of a background hum of what's happening.
Background hum. Background hum.
And as you're moving through the cave, and as certain maybe goblins are coming out, or maybe there are rocks falling, maybe you come up to a point where you can't get across, you have to figure out some way to cross a, you know, pool of water in the lake or something like that, other layers of music will pop in.
obstacles, background, things are getting harder.
And you might not even notice it. They might just creep in so slowly. And it'll be a layer of music that works really well with whatever you've already been hearing. And then once maybe an enemy pops out, that's when the drums would kick in. That helps you, I think, to kind of get in the mindset of, okay, now it's time to do battle, or now it's time to solve this puzzle, or whatever it is that that game is telling you you need to achieve. A lot of times the intensity of the music will kind of ramp up a little bit, and there will be many more layers added to that. When that task finishes,
level achieved,
those tend to drop away, and we're back down to layer one, where the music is nice and ambient, and you're back in your cave exploring and not getting in any trouble.
Background hum.
It's that kind of blending of these different layers that makes each experience unique, really.
Background hum. Background hum.
Brains on.
Let's go back to that mystery sound. Ready to hear it one more time?
Yeah.
A different guess this time?
I don't know. I'm still pretty high on keyboard, but that's kind of making me think. If we're talking about video games, and this could possibly be an old sound, maybe it's an arcade, and maybe somebody's playing the video game, and that's the sound of clicking the buttons before there was music.
That is a really good guess. This is actually a sound that's very familiar to me. It's actually one that I hear in my living room all the time. Ready for the answer?
Yeah.
Here it is.
That was the sound of my video game controller as I was playing video games on my Xbox 360. My name is Andy Doucette. I'm an artist, a teacher, and I've been playing video games for about 30 years.
What's your relationship to me?
You're my wife, and I'm your husband. We're married.
And I hear that sound a lot when you play video games because you are wearing headphones. So why do you wear headphones when you play?
Sometimes it just allows you to hear the sounds a little bit better, and some games are designed to have sound move around your head, so you can hear that in stereo. There's two different experiences, what I hear in my head and what everyone else hears, which is just silence and the clickety-clack of my controller.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, people who are playing don't usually hear the sound of the clicking because they are hearing the music and the sounds from the game. So it's a little different perspective on what it sounds like to play video games. So it's possible to play video games without the music, but will that help or hinder your playing?
To find out, we talked to psychologist Su Lan Tan, who actually studies the impact that video game music has on us.
And she teaches at Kalamazoo College in Michigan.
We started with the basics.
What kind of music makes us feel certain ways?
So if we think, for example, about video game music and emotions like scary, nervous, happy, if you're playing a video game, there's some music that just expresses emotion. So it sort of sets up an atmosphere around you. But then there's other music that can actually make you feel the emotion. So it induces emotion. So, for instance, Henry, have you played a racing game before with and without music? And if you are playing it with music, do you sometimes feel like the music can actually make you feel more excited or more panicky or make you feel exhilarated, like you're flying or soaring? And that's music actually inducing or stirring up emotions inside you.
Well, why does it do that?
So why music does that is actually a complex question, and there's lots of possible answers. One way that music can express or induce emotion is by mimicking what your body does when you experience an emotion in your real life. So, for example, do you know the classic side-scroller Mario Brothers game?
Yeah, I like that game.
So you notice the music gets steadily faster and faster as you're running out of time, right?
Yeah.
So the music makes you feel excited and energized, and one way it might do that is that because it sounds like it's getting faster and faster, it's just like the pounding of your heartbeat going faster and faster when you're running fast.
Does the music in video games actually help us play better, or does it make us play worse?
So if you have a lot of sounds that are just doubling up what you see on the screen, it might actually distract you. But there are some sounds and music in your video game that are cues or warnings of things that you don't see on the screen. So they're your only clues about something important. And if you can pay attention to those things, you can actually play better. It can really help your game.
Well, I've started playing, instead of using the small amounts of music that's in that game, I've been kind of drowning out the music with my own music, played off of my phone, like just the radio. And it's been helping me. I think I've been playing a lot better with it than when I haven't had it on, because it's kind of like a white noise in a way, so I only pay attention to the things in the game that really matter.
That's really, really interesting, because we did research on exactly that topic. We were asking about whether people might play a new game, particularly a complex game that's new to them, that they haven't played before, if they play better with the sound off or the sound on, or, like you were doing, playing pleasant music that they like, that's not distracting, in the background, that's not related to the game. And actually, we found the same thing that you said. You could have done our research, Henry, and been a step ahead of us. But we found the same thing, that if you're playing a new game and it's complex and you don't know it really well yet, sometimes it's actually better to play with relaxing music, and you can kind of just focus on the visual cues and what's really important, like you said. But we did find that the subsection of our participants who were the top gamers, who were getting the top scores, they were different from the rest. They actually played better from the beginning if they were playing with the music and the sound from the game on. And that's because they're able to put together the sound cues and what's happening on the screen in a really tight way and know what to pay attention to and not be distracted. So, but most people, it seems like it would be better to play with music that's unrelated for a short time until you get to know your game really well.
So it turns out, if you're just starting out,
or if you're an expert gamer,
video game music can really help.
But if you're a regular player of a game, it can eventually become a little bit of a distraction.
So you can make your own soundtrack.
Or maybe try your own experiment. Do you play better with the sound off or on? With no music, or maybe with your own soundtrack?
Send us your results.
Email us at brainson@m.org. And that's it for this episode of Brains On.
This episode was produced by Sandon Totten, Mark Sanchez, and Molly Bloom.
Many thanks to Karen Collins, Denise Goldman, Sarah Santelli, Randall Thompson, Eric Ringham, and Valerie Kaler.
If you like what you're hearing, write a review on iTunes.
Like us on Facebook.
Or follow us on Twitter at brains_on.
And you can always find past episodes at our website, brainson.org.
Thanks for listening.
Beep, boop. Level achieved.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.